To avoid the problem of overexposure, preachers should carefully train other individuals to fill less significant roles. That's our key sentence for today. Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, have you ever been in a church service where the minister is what I would call a one-person show?
Yeah, probably more than I care to admit. I am thinking of specific individuals where they do everything from the start of the sermon right through, and by the time it's the occasion for the sermon, you're already tired of seeing them up there. I don't know why that is. Sometimes they're small churches, and it's just one person who does it all. Sometimes I think that person enjoys the spotlight. It's the one time in the whole week that that individual gets a little bit of attention. I've said to my wife about one given individual, I didn't go to that church often, but I went enough times, and I'm talking probably three, maybe four times, where I said it's almost like a, this sounds terrible, it's like a Christian burlesque show, where I've never been to a burlesque show. So that's why it seems funny to me. But it's like, let me show you this part of me. And oh, you like that? Now here's another part. Here's a leg, you know, whatever. And pretty soon it all the clothes don't come off, but you've seen just about everything you want to see. I thought, oh my golly. So yes, those situations exist. Sometimes they're even big churches. That's true also in terms of television ministries where you see one personality repeatedly over and over. I look back, you know, I was on radio many years, and was I on every program? I guess I wasn't. I was on an awful lot, and pretty soon you begin to say, I'm tired myself of listening to me or seeing me, whatever. I tried to do it where there was a constant variety, either myself and my wife or my wife or Steve and Valerie worked with us, and I did a lot of interviews, so I was not always the person in the spotlight. It's kind of like in that spotlight where, oh, no, you switch the spotlight over on the organist. Pull that back here. You know, that's the feeling that I get with some people.
Yeah, we've actually had experience in a church where the pastor was so intent on being the only person that anybody related to in the congregation that he ended up firing key staff members because he felt they got too much attention in the worship service.
Yeah, okay. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a sad situation. In such situations, you're almost embarrassed for the minister. And what do you think the core problem is here?
You want me to be honest, or do you want me to be diplomatic?
We're paying you large amounts of money, I say with a chuckle, since you're paid nothing. We're paying large amounts of money for you to be totally honest.
I'll be diplomatic, okay. I think sometimes there will be a minister who doesn't know how to delegate. That could be a problem. I don't think that's usually the problem. If you want me to be very direct, I will. I think that it's a problem of narcissism. They're narcissistic. They have looked at their image in the mirror, and they like it and like the different angles. I think a lot of guys who are on television, I watch, and I've said to my wife as I've watched, he's watched himself on television too much because he knows what's attractive and what's not. This is my good side. This is not my good side, that kind of thing. That becomes quite repulsive. I see it a lot in pastors who think nobody can do as good a job of praying the pastoral prayer as they can. There's nobody who can make the announcements like they do. If they make the announcements, then it'll really get done. But if they don't make the announcement, it never really has the same clout as the minister doing it. They are the ones who need to welcome the visitors. They are the ones who need to do the prayer for the offering. You know, and after a while, you just think, this is very sad. It's not a personality problem. It's a real sickness problem. That's where a lot of churches are. If you would say to the guy, you know, you're way overexposed, which is a nice way of saying it, or if you say, you know, there are other people who could do that, if you would let them, if he or she responds, but they don't do it well, then you teach them to do it well. You have to be very frontal. There are some people, these are deep-seated problems. I think of one given individual. When anyone else would preach, he would always have another place where he was preaching, or he had to go out and he would speak to the high school kids or whatever, but he would never be there when somebody else was preaching. And I wondered, why was that? And I think it was this deep-seated insecurity or this strong narcissism that just was violently reacting to somebody else being in the spotlight. Those are personality problems. That how do you deal with them? Wow, they're difficult.
It's very interesting when I think about this, and I'll be interested in your reaction to this. This seems to be more of a problem for male pastors than for female pastors. Women tend to be more collegial in their approach to life to begin with. And when I think of the scope of pastors that I've known that have had narcissistic tendencies, I rarely, if ever, see that in a woman. That's not to say there aren't exceptions that would prove the rule out there, but I think it's generally a male problem. How do you respond to that?
I think I probably agree with you, yes. There haven't been that many women who have been given pulpits, so they may manifest the same tendencies, but I think you're right. I would say, generally speaking, that's true.
What are some of the service elements that someone other than the pastor could obviously do?
I think that most people know how to read, so reading scripture would be something. They may have to be taught how to do that well, but they are certainly capable. I can't imagine there would be a church where no one would be capable of reading scripture. They would be able to pray. I've been in situations where the only person I've ever heard pray would be the pastor. That's not really teaching people about the different personalities and how they pray. I think I mentioned some of these before: taking the offering, welcoming visitors, making announcements, leading worship. There's a funny thing. I've seen pastors who not only do all the speaking parts, they lead the worship and they sing the solos. And I think, I can't believe this is going on. It is beyond me. I think that there are people who are capable of doing the visuals, you know, all those kind of things. There are all kinds of different jobs that are possibilities where you could bust up that one-man show. I always think about Mary Poppins, where she has the friend who is the one-man band, you know, beats the drum and plays the cymbal and does the singing and does the dancing. And all this Dick Van Dyke, who is absolutely incredible at it. I don't think most guys are as talented in the ministry as Dick Van Dyke is in terms of just his ability to keep people watching him. But even him doing that for a period of 1 hour every Sunday morning, they would get pretty tiresome after a while. How many times can you play Rock of Ages on the bass drum and cymbals? But that's always the person I think of. Just watch me, you know. I'm very good at all things. In fact, there must be something else I can do that's wonderful. Please just keep watching. So,
how much training are we talking about having to give people that we invite to participate in the service?
Well, I don't think anyone is real good at something until they've done it a period of time. And I think when you say people, you're not training one person to welcome the visitors every week. You're training different people, but you're growing them in the process. What I found in one situation where a minister was strongly narcissistic, even when he would not be there on a Sunday, it was always last-minute assignments for people. So it was like when you arrived on Sunday morning, you realized that you were to say the prayer. Well, that's not really very fair, but it was almost like he was saying, I'll show you that these people are terrible at this. So I'm taking your question. I'm saying you're working with these people ahead of time, and you're maybe listening to them read the scripture, making suggestions, giving them all the helps that you can give them. After somebody has done the announcements, you're talking with them after. You did that very well. This is an area you might have changed a little bit when you welcomed the visitors. It didn't seem quite as warm as maybe you're capable of doing. Let's try it. Let's just practice it, just the two of us, you know. But anyway, you're working this in. The good minister is the person who trains all kinds of people for these different jobs and finds some of them are very well suited in certain areas and not in others. But you're talking about building people into leadership positions, in fact, eventually even being able to preach. I'm not sure whether all people are capable of doing that, but that's part of what the pastoral role is. I mean, when you think about the nobodies that Jesus trained to be leaders, if you're looking for leaders, you're going at least to the schools or somewhere. You're not going to look for fishermen or tax collectors. You know, Jesus was phenomenal in the way he passed these jobs off to different individuals and captured their hearts, and they became very good at what they were doing. They went out and changed the world, and I mean that literally. They went to India. Thomas went to India. These different apostles went all over, and they were huge in terms of their leadership skills after being with Jesus. So Jesus was not a, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. You're going to see what you really had going for you, and then you're going to be sorry. You know, that wasn't the way Jesus was.
No, not at all. Say we have the attention of someone listening to us right now who recognizes that he or she has the one-person show problem, the one-person show, the one-man show, the one-woman show problem. What do we want that person to hear from this podcast?
I think probably would want to say the church is not about you. And you probably know that, but you've never been confronted maybe by words like we're speaking right now. And you know the answer as well as I do when I question and say, who is the church about? That's the personality that needs to show, and his personality is much bigger than yours. And you need to let other people talk about him. You need to let other people give testimony about him. You need to let them show how he has changed their lives and so on. So what we're trying to do is uphold Jesus. You'll never be able to do that. You'll never be able to fill Jesus' shoes. So just keep that in mind. Try to hide behind him, if you please. Yes. Let them see Jesus through you and through your people.
Yes. In everything you do and everything you say, make much of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid the problem of overexposure, preachers should carefully train other individuals to fill less significant roles. That's our key sentence, and we're so very glad you joined us for our time together today. You found our SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. On our website, we're pleased to have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to look through those resources, and we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.